Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhism Butterflies. We're working with transformation of grief into its healthy role, letting go, dispersion, surrender. Before I get into anything related to today's session, I just wanted to say thank you to all the support that I received over this past while for the thoughtfulness, the kindness that you guys have messaged me with. Around last week's cancellation happening very suddenly for my doggo Roxy. She was in a pretty bad state. We had traveled back to Saskatoon. We were hoping to see our vet that day of that session. And the vet suggested that we could actually bring her in first thing in the morning because things had actually gotten quite a bit worse in that time frame. So in the 2 days ramping up to the vet appointment slash our time together, and there was significant pain that had elevated for Roxy, which had led to lack of sleep. So neither one of us had slept for 2 days straight. So by the time that morning had rolled around, I was still hopeful I might be able to do the session and then get her into the vet, but the situation had escalated and it was pretty critical. So thank you so much for your grace, your understanding, your accommodation of that last minute, very last minute schedule change. And know that we have a reschedule in place, and also know that Roxy is doing much better. And this is the sort of thing that dogs can get put down for, but luckily we have a vet who does ortho work and does know how to adjust chiro style type of things. And I'm feeling a little bit scattered as I present this information. I'm still in the weeds a little bit with it. But essentially she has a back injury that's pretty severe, and chiro is helping to manage it well. And she's in her last chapter, stage really of that chapter of life, with her heart that's escalated. So long story short, Roxy is doing really well right now. She's very well managed, and I had no idea that was going to happen in such short notice. So I just wanted to give that explanation on the recording. So thank you all for your grace. And I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to head into the session in just a moment. The reschedule for last week is on Friday morning, 9 a.m., which actually works out really cool because I was thinking that we wouldn't get a chance to hang out together over the holidays much, but this means that we end up working together on solstice, which is one of my favorite days. So I'm really jazzed that we get to do a session on solstice, and I'm going to consider that the universe has no mistakes, and that might have actually been the design that was potentially supportive in some other ways for y'all. So I do apologize again for last week, and as we oh, thank you all for the beautiful messages rolling on in. Oh, I'm just like flooding the feed right now, you guys. You guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Appreciate that all. And so does Roxy. She's right here. I don't know if you can see her very well. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Without further ado, let's hop into today's session. thank you. Oh, I promise we won't just one sec. Someone acknowledged in the comments, and this is very much true, that Roxy's been a support throughout the sessions. And yeah, she's always at my feet, whether you guys see her or not. And I know some of you have seen her in person, and some of you have seen her online and on camera. And she's always around when we're working together. She considers herself to be the integrator, so she comes in at the end of sessions to support things. Okay. All right. I'm going to formally switch gears now. I'm going to invite you to settle on in, getting comfy cozy, making adjustments, shake shimmies, getting set up for comfort. And once you've landed, once you've settled here, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking time to really drink it in, to savor it. It might be the medicine for you today, in this moment, to just simply be present, to savor. Then I'm going to invite you on purpose to either scan your outer environment or your inner environment, letting your five, six senses go for a bit of a walk around those spaces. And let them land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral to be with. And whatever you've landed upon, taking a moment to really just drink in all the parts of it that you like the most. And as you do that, savoring them. So that might be the shape, the size, the color, what it reminds you of, the way it seems to present itself. Perhaps it's the way the light and the shadow play with it, or the way that the space is altered by its presence. And as you savor, as you drink this in, as you appreciate that all, noticing how your body responds. And if any part of that response is desirable, meaning pleasant and neutral, taking time to savor that too. And as you do that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here, period. Thank you for this gift of life, this presence. And we give so much gratitude, so much gratefulness to all that's gone into this moment of arrival. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage. And thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands, that have nourished us all, those that have come before and those yet to arrive. Thank you for the gift that lives on through this line. Thank you to the earth that holds us, reminding us what it is to be grounded, to be present, to be here. And thank you to the sky, reminding us what it is to have space, to connect inspiration. Thank you to the waters that flow through us all, connecting us to our emotions, our consciousness. And thank you to the fire that purifies, connecting us to source, to spirits. I was already slipping into the journey in the middle of that, and I want to just say as we bridge this, thank you to this body, to all that she does, and to all that it offers us. Thank you to this mind for this presence and the capacity to sense and be here. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Yeah. I've never really had the journey go quite that way before, but the session started in mid-prayer, and it actually started with the liver there. The liver is undergoing a fair amount of challenges right now as we work with this, and the liver is actually trying to process grief. Here's the deal. Liver doesn't process grief very well. And it's better at processing anger. In fact, that's what it's made for. The lungs, large intestine, they're the ones who are meant to process grief. So interestingly enough, we're actually going to, on purpose, place some of this grief that was misplaced, got confused a little bit, because there might have been a lack of storage, or there might have been some sort of a challenge, and whatever reason, getting it to the right location. We actually need to move the grief of the liver through the body, through the lungs, and then down into the large intestine as well. And then from there, we're going to do what it does. We're going to help it to do what it does best, naturally. Grief loves to disperse. It loves to leave. It's made for this and knows how to do that. And we might even witness it. I'm just going to give some imagery to how I'm seeing it move anyways. I'm already seeing it actually having moved from the liver to the lung and the large intestine. Almost like it goes up in a puff of smoke. And those little tendrils, if you've ever, I don't know if you smoke or if you've watched somebody smoke, more so, but you've probably seen those little tendrils of smoke sort of like just dissipate into the air. It's that kind of dispersion that we're working with. And as we do that, it takes the pressure off of the liver to try to do things in addition to all of, well, I'm going to call it a her because it's very yin in essence, her regular jobs. And she has about 500 metabolic reactions every single second. This is not a small amount. So for this, this overworked, shall we say, liver, which was trying to take on extra jobs in addition to already being a workhorse, this is tying somewhat into our last session around you don't have to work so hard, if I could sum that last session up into a line. And it's actually going back into the ancestry, as well as there's a few pieces of information coming in here hot and heavy. And I'll just present the major themes, and then I'll get down into explaining them a bit more. As well as within those family lines, which is kidney meridian, there's a fair amount of shock, and to compensate for that, there's a fair amount of heat in the heart meridian, and it's creating distortion in the mind, as that's what that does. So as we work with this, it's like the kidney shock, I'm going to say, carries a very cool energy, and the heart energy of the fire carries very warm energy. And it's like they had to arise together. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in balance. There wouldn't be the capacity for you to be as functional as, well, you are. So in essence, this kidney shock and this heat in the heart is creating also extra work. It's creating extra agitation because there's always something to be compensating for. So if the fire gets too hot, then the cold comes back up. And if the cold gets too cold, then the fire gets to be heated up, in essence. So I'm seeing these very two, almost playful, really, energies, attempting to balance each other out, but it's never really working. It's been this chronic tug-of-war game where one isn't really actually matching up to the other and canceling each other out, or balancing each other out in the way that they were originally hopeful and had intended to do. And all of this is, again, being anchored by Mrs. Liver. So the image that I have, and bear with me here, is of the liver, and there's this like little tendril of smoke, almost like a balloon string, but instead of the smoke dissipating, there is a blue balloon and a red balloon. the blue balloon carrying the kidney shock and the red balloon carrying the heart fire. So to support this and to work with it and to flush out all that it's been carrying alike all the same time, we're going to first start with lymphatic drainage, clearing out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing through kidney, through heart, through liver. Okay, this makes more sense now. The liver has been attempting to organize this all, so that's why she's like holding this balloon string, so to speak. And it's put a fair amount of, as we've mentioned, additional strain on her to do that. And underneath that, there is not just grief, but also resentment. Like, hey, I'm already really busy. I'd actually like to be able to rest myself, and I can't. I actually have to do all these other jobs in addition to my own, which has been the breeding ground of resentment. So, where in your life, where have you overstepped your capacity? Where have you bitten off too much? Where have you decided to do that extra thing just because, you may as well. Well, you're in it already, so you may as well just do one more thing. And all that's led to is the belief or the understanding that's been reinforced that overwhelm is survival, which basically means that you have to be in a state of overwhelm in order to survive whatever is coming your way. So then whatever's coming your way should be greeted by overwhelm in order for you to survive it. So it creates this recipe for you to greet whatever's happening in life with overwhelm. Now, I don't know about you, but if that doesn't speak to the stress that sometimes occurs around this holiday season for folks, then I'm not sure what does. Knowing that there's a lot of angles to holiday stress, I'm certainly not saying it's just that. As we work with it in this form, we need to also run a cellular, excuse me, a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And interestingly enough, we're still going to do some work with the kidney and the heart, but we're going to do the cell repair for the liver herself for having held this whole dynamic in place by attempting to keep it organized and let her know that, like, hey, that your job is done. You've actually done the hard work here, and you take a load off. And if you're feeling playful with me, feel free to imagine the liver can kick her feet up. Maybe she's got, that comforting beverage in her hand, whatever that might be, hot cocoa, glass of wine, you decide. Anything in between. Hot toddies, welcome. Almond milk, welcome. And as we, in essence, support the liver in just getting a little bit more comfy cozy here and taking a bit of a load off with the cell repair. And we're unwinding that foundational stance that I need overwhelm to survive. It begins to actually allow for what was holding that balloon to release the balloon. And now the balloon is still there, but it's free floating, but it's actually able to be dealt with. So we're going to go into the balloon itself, which was again that blue kidney shock and the red heart fire. As we work with this, excuse me. We need to do an emotional release here also of overwhelm from the kidney and then anger from the heart. And as I tune into that, the overwhelm in the kidney is actually related to surviving really challenging environmental circumstances in the ancestral lines. So all the hardships that your ancestors faced, whether that was challenging, well, I'm in Canada, so I'm thinking of like really challenging cold conditions your ancestors might have been from different locations. They might have faced challenging environmental conditions in other form, heat, dampness. And then also working with the essence of just making sense of this piece, hang on. Not sure if I can make sense until I actually speak it out loud. We might figure this out together. It's actually the essence of musicality. Oh, okay, got it. Makes sense now. So it was the dynamics of facing hardship, but being able to do it lightheartedly enough with song or music, or that's basically a metaphor representing all the ways that they have cheerfully coped, because they put on that smiley face and just sang that right song to make it through the day, almost like gurus give students a mantra to tame their mind. It's like this is the way that they learn to cope with hardship. Okay, so we're not just undoing the hardship, we're also undoing all the coping that went into managing that hardship. And all of that overwhelm that's created, not just from the hardship itself, but from the coping that's going hand in hand with that hardship. In essence, we can consider this all the ways that they have learned to manage themselves that are outdated, because you're actually in a very different world than they were, which has a very different way of navigating than may have been required in that way. So, in essence, just finding a different way through this that doesn't need to carry the burden of those outdated ways of managing things. So, think of this as running like a massive spring clean on the outdated ways of managing things that were held in the family lines in that way. And at the same time, the anger in the heart was actually around, to a great deal, the rage around having to manage any of this in the first place. Like, this makes no sense. Why is this happening to me? Aren't I supposed to just be here in harmony and bliss? And there is a sense of tremendous like grief around like why is this happening to me? Why are these life circumstances so damn hard? In other words. Okay, and again, this is also held ancestrally, and we're going back 7 generations on mom's side with this piece. And we're bringing in the planetary energy of Venus to actually begin to soothe the with her feminine essence that she provides with harmony, with order, with grace, affection, with maternal energy to begin to soothe and comfort the feminine lines. And as we work with both of these balloons, so to speak, the kidney and the heart stuff, we're actually working with both of them at the exact same time to begin to slowly, 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 bit by bit by bit, layer by layer by layer, begin to distill all the way back down until it arrives at the generation of you. And this body. In you, not ancestral, but here and now, in this very moment of presence, we're working with a cell repair. We're going into your navel and the area just below it. And this is where the balloon is attached. And we're actually unhooking a fair amount of adhesive tissue through here that's been holding this dynamic in place. And as we do that, as this begins to release, with it goes with it the belief, I am a problem to solve. And we're running the permissions. You are free. You are free. As you release that burden, we're also going to simultaneously bring in circulation of all those healing resources through to the navel, like we could give new life here. So on the other side of this, there gets to be something new that gets to grow in its stead. And as we consider this to be almost like rainwater, watering these fertile grounds, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, depression, help the body mind to heal on all levels, in particular the nervous system and the immune system benefit a fair amount from that. And also balancing the overall yin essence of nourishment and the yang essence of protection. And then balancing in here hydration, helping cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Okay, at the same time as all of that, and yet quite related, working with, again, a theme of management, but particularly through the lens of hyperanalysis. Anyone else an overthinker? I should probably have all my limbs up in the air, both hands, both feet. And as we work with the analysis, hyperanalysis, it's actually like a mental form of protection. And it's actually being held predominantly by the stomach meridian, which governs the conscious mind. And it's this like, well, this is the way I'll stay safe. I'll just keep analyzing all the bits and bobs and pieces around the cell. Always, at all times, I'll be vigilantly analysis queen. I'll be the vigilant analysis queen, pardon me. And as the analysis continues to be vigilant in that way, it's almost formed like the shape of like a force field, almost like a halo around the sphenoid, which hangs out right in the center of the skull. So we're actually going to run a cellular repair through here. Through the entire sphenoid bone itself, restoring the bone cells, the osteoclasts, back to their fullest potential of health. And we're going to bring in the planetary energy of the sun to bring in new nourishment. And I see that it's also supporting the watering of those fertile grounds that I mentioned earlier around the navel region. And similarly to how like the physical body might go through a rebirth cycle, it's as if we're rebirthing the mental body right now. And as this mental body addresses the halo that's here, and as it considers, in essence, putting it down, releasing it, surrendering the need to do it in this way. We need to do a couple of things. We need to start with an emotional release, no surprise of the emotion of grief. And it's of all those times and all those places and all those spaces where this didn't work, where you tried to figure it out and it didn't happen. And it led to like the need to double down and just figure it out harder and do even more. As we grieve, as we allow the body and the mind space to grieve what didn't work, it actually gets to bear witness to the fact that, since that isn't working, maybe we can do things in a slightly different way. And here, running one more cell repair, it's cell repair day. This is also going through the family lines, both sides. Five generations back. And it's actually addressing a fear of, and there's actually, as soon as I said that, I was like, this is what it is. There was like three things that popped up, so just bear with me. There's a fear of not being able to handle what was coming their way. A fear of going insane because of that. And then a fear of not being able to support the next generation, like to support the livelihood of, well, basically be able to tend to their kids and be able to tend to the food supply. And in the modern world, that looks like work, bringing home a paycheck. And as we begin to release these levels of, shall we say, mental agitation with this cell repair through both sides of the family lines, it begins to provide a level of ease to the mind. So it can actually recall, like, hey, remember all those times where it did work out? And the thing with the mind is when it tries to jump ahead into the future, as you probably all have seen those memes, yes, there's anxiety that comes with that. But even more so, that happens because it's actually not its role. It's actually not its job. It actually can't figure out things until it happens. And that actually gives the mind permission to begin to go back into its regular role of observing when things have been completed. And then to use that historically to analyze in a good way what has happened before that's worked well. And to use that as a building block, which it wasn't able to do because it was like trying to always foresee the future, which is not the job of the mind. Okay, and with that, I actually see the third eye separating out from the mind. Very cool. I actually see the mind going like, oh, I'm not intuition, and intuition is not the mind, so I don't need to grasp onto it. And with that, we begin to restore intuition's capacity to do what it does best. She is meant to be free, to run rampantly in ways that are completely irrational and make no sense whatsoever. Okay, in essence, what I'm seeing is like this, as a result of all this, just a defrag that's just happening naturally between the left brain and the right brain, between the left brain's knowledge, knowing, and the right brain's intuition, ways to perceive the non-ordinary, and willingness to accept things that are mysterious, that don't make any sense whatsoever. And as it defrags, it actually flushes out the midline structures of the brain. Those midline structures where the two come together, the big one is the corpus callosum, and there's other ones. The intrathalamic adhesion is another. There's a few. And as we work with these midline structures, for whatever reason, we're connecting the spleen meridian that brings up nourishment to them. Oh, okay. It's just that there is more room available now for nourishment because there isn't this tug of war. There isn't this defrag happening. Or more so, because the defrag has been underway and is happening, there's actually more room for nourishment to rise up into the midline of the brain. And it's granting what the midline does best, stability, along with trust, along with surrender. So it's bringing in the consciousness of deep stability, trust, surrender. And that in turn is linking right back into the entire musculoskeletal system, which is also governed, well, the muscles in particular, that are governed by the liver and the gallbladder meridians. And if there was ever an area of our body that was interested in taking action and doing things and having emotional energy pour through them to do those things, because that's how we move our body, is with emotion, energy and motion, and then, you know, I think the liver might be like the queen of that kingdom, so to speak, the queen of that queendom, so to speak. So as we support in this way, it begins to restore strength and capacity through the muscular system as well as through the musculoskeletal system, as the muscles represent our actions that we're taking and the bones represent history, ancestry. It's been, in a way, also like a tug-of-war for you to find your own way through on the other side of all those other experiences that are outdated and no longer as pertinent in some ways, but need to be applied in new ways that have yet to be determined, which requires the conscious mind to be available to interpret that in real time. We begin to lighten the load. We begin to lighten the load here. It's all linking into the 12th house, house of release, house of surrender, house of letting go. And here we're granting you permission to move into your own way of doing things and have it not be a disrespect to the family line, to the family loyalty, to the ancestors, or to anything that's come before you. And as you begin to make peace between your muscles and your bones in this way, bring in circulation of lymph, releasing insecurity. Sometimes insecurity just means like that information isn't the comfort that I need. That wisdom that you've carefully curated for generations upon generations upon generations, not without value, yet it's just not what I need right now. And as we bring our attention to the new way of being, of what it is to step forward into a new way for yourself, we're bringing in the lungs, as the lungs are that first breath, first connection to life, the beginning of the astrological chart, and our connection, we might say, to not just breath, but to source. As we turn towards the lungs, we're just simply running the permissions. It's interesting. The words here are, I'm ready. I'm ready. And it's as if there's this acknowledgement of capability, of capacity, where it might have seemed like there was none before. By just simply turning towards it, it opens up space for something new to enter the scene. Interestingly enough, it's linking right into the 11th house, which is I took a beat because I was like, yeah, I don't know, that's a big jump. The 11th house, however, is the house of the gallbladder. It's also the house of new beginnings in its own way. And I think of the gallbladder as, yes, catalyzing new beginnings, taking new steps forward. But in a way, it's also the voice of the soul stepping into the new. Because it's in the 11th house and it's representing new, and it's like new right before the end. What? How could that be? As the 12th house represents endings, why the heck would there be anything new coming in right at the 11th house? Yeah. So this is actually at the level of the soul, not at the physical, mental, emotional body, but at the level of the soul. And I don't go here a lot. It doesn't come up commonly. but it does come up on occasion. So as we work within this terrain, it's almost like to the soul, what seems obvious, simple, gets very distorted, contorted, convoluted by the physical, mental, emotional body, because it goes through those layer upon layer upon layer of distortion. And there's a certain level of grief that's present in the soul due to that. So we're just releasing grief at the level of the soul around that all. Almost like there's a little bit of dismay, like, why would I bother stepping forward if? I hear you're ready, but why would I bother stepping forward if? It's just going to create that same level of distortion and overwhelm all over again. So we're just cleaning that whole pathway up between the soul all the way through to the physical body by supporting a release of grief from the layer of the soul. And then I begin to see the soul have more accuracy in getting through its messaging to the mental body, through to the emotional body, through to the physical body. And I see it as a fairly big integration of a fair amount of the work that we've done to date through this series around the five koshas. It's almost like unwinding a corkscrew, and we've done little turns bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, and then all of a sudden, like, the corkscrew gets to, like, pop out. It's as if that corkscrew is, or it's as if that cork is actually just on the verge of getting ready to release. It's like I can sense the path is finally clear. And there's restoration of hope and release of despair and grief alike. And we're just simply running the permissions. It gets to come to light. And I can think of no better time than right now, as we're not quite at solstice yet, but it's the time where it's considered to be that the sun holds still, and it's the darkest time of the year, which means that it's capable of illuminating the most amount of radiant light. It means it's the backdrop for luminosity above and beyond anything else. As well as, I don't want to dismiss the darkness. The darkness also carries deep nourishment in and of itself. It's meant to be a time where we hibernate, we go inward, we nourish ourselves, and we go into rest and stillness, which we don't really do because we end up in holiday season and stress mode, and we tend to forget that we're animals that need to hibernate too sometimes. So, with this, running the permissions here of yes. You get to come to light now. Yes, you get to come to light now. And as it does so, there's a certain level of exhaustion that's being held in those layers of darkness that are like, okay, good, because we're kind of ready. We're ready for this. So there's a readiness on multiple levels. And as the clear path between soul, mental body, emotional body, physical body becomes available. With it too goes a sense of being able to not just have clarity, but to do it from a mature adult, grown-up place. And that has nothing to do with age, by the way. What I'm referring to here more so is our capacity to excuse me. evolve into not being stuck at the suffering that happens, or the misperception of suffering that happens at the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body. But at the soul level, it's like, that's worth it. I'm open to that. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to work through this terrain. So there's a certain clarity of willingness that becomes available, which doesn't require will itself to make anything happen. It's actually a surrendering, a softening, a releasing into everything. And as we do this, I'm actually seeing it pour through the central channel from that sphenoid bone where we were working earlier, down through the spinal column, all the way through to the tailbone. And there's this clear path all the way through the spine. So I'm going to invite you to take a moment just to offer 3, 4, or 5 breaths right into the spine. And it says if there's this autopilot spinal balancing that's happening underway as we do this, we've done this a fair amount of time, your body's relatively primed for it, for the reciprocal of all the different vertebrae, same-sidedness, opposite-sidedness as well. And as that begins to open, to clear, spontaneously, by simply means of breathing here. It also shows there's a ligament that runs just in front of the spine. Anterior longitudinal ligament has a tendency when it gets tight to like contract and then curl the body inward like that. And it doesn't allow for things to in turn open up. And in particular, I've referred to this, this was a long time ago and I didn't do it very often, so. The vomer bone deep in the nose socket and the xiphoid at the base of the sternum, that reciprocal is meant to actually release and relax that ligament and in turn open up the heart. So in essence, this ligament is keeping things just a little bit tight and it's not allowing for the fullest opening of the heart. We are going to support it with that vomer to xiphoid reciprocal in just a moment. And as we do that, it's releasing this idea that you had to be special in any certain way. Interesting. There's a certain pressure that comes up when somebody puts something on you, like you're the chosen one, like you're the savior, like you're the special one that's going to accomplish something. And there seems to have been that placed upon you at some age of life, likely before you were 4 years old. And it's placing a certain pressure that says, like, you have to be successful. You have to manifest that thing. You have to accomplish this thing. You have to figure this out. You have to succeed. And we're just releasing that pressure of having to succeed so that you can actually relocate your original wiring through here and allow that light that's deeply present already in that central channel. It's bright, it's clear, it's free to make itself known. So it's like a final surrender. And as we release this, we have to simultaneously also unwind adhesions around the iliopsoas muscle, sometimes referred to as also the muscle of the soul. And also the iliopsoas is known as the last frontier. It's where fear is the last holdout often in the body. So as we support the system in opening up the ligament in front of the spine and the iliopsoas alike, I'm going to invite you to take some fairly gentle yet deep breaths. So deep doesn't necessarily mean effortful. Deep just means we can imagine that oxygenation, that breath, has space and room to travel throughout the entire system, throughout the entire body-mind. So as we support it in releasing in this way. Very in alignment with everything else we've done in this session. It's like giving that whole energy permission to grow up and in turn to stand up. And in turn not have to mean to be like hunched down, but to actually like rise. And in this new place, as it rises and unfolds, it begins to locate a deeper quality of dignity than it may have been familiar with before. This sense of dignity carries with it respect, honoring, as well as the capacity to go, if I know what and who this is, not because I believe someone else's version of what they've told me, but because I found it for myself, I can more easily trust what's here, and I can surrender into whatever is coming my way through life. So as the system begins to rise, no longer burdens, it's going to locate a whole new way of being in its environments, which may be kind of vulnerable, kind of new, might be kind of fun to experience. Might be kind of adventurous. And it's coming with it a sense of wonder, sense of like, wow, I get to be here. And coming with that a sense of, oh, that's a lot of work. Whoa, that's a lot of stuff I let down there. And with that a sense of maybe even grief around all that had been carried for the amount of time that it was carried for. And as you witness your own journey in this way, it simply expands the capacity to empathetically witness others' journeys as they've gone through these struggles in their own lives, as they've also maybe have passed on before they've even had a chance to go through this all. And just taking a moment to actually also honor those that are no longer with us, those that are no longer here, and the grief that comes from that, and the grief that comes from having witnessed their journeys in ways that you might have even like been drawn to support or help. And for whatever reason, that may not have come to pass. And releasing the angst or the grief or the pain around not even having been able to, for whatever those reasons were, offer, be able to, be available to support other struggles in ways that you wished you could have. And there's a few different statements that are arising as permission statements to address multiple angles, knowing that none of them are going to completely cover this all. And none of them will completely manage, using that word a little tongue-in-cheek, it all. Because to a degree, there's a certain level of management that happens when we care for another. There's a certain level of, I want to give you this. And often that stems from childhood of, I want to give you this so that I might also be in relationship with you. Which is sometimes really hard to say when we're talking about those really tender moments of grief after a loved one is lost. There's a sense often of tricky territory to speak to, a sense of like rejection. Of like, I wanted to help, but I couldn't, or you didn't want to receive it. So there's a sense of rejection and return around that all. And then the option to have cared so darn deeply in the first place feels less, I won't say exactly what it is, but it feels like it becomes something to reconsider or reevaluate. One way or the other, it'll either potentially go into things like, I want to do more of it in a different way, I want to do more of it in the same way, or I want to not do that again. To simplify it, overly simplifying, speaking very broad brushstroke here. So sometimes in the dynamics of grief, we're actually dealing with what feels like a rejected sense of caring, or having your care rejected. Like, I know what could be helpful here. I could help here. And what if you could imagine that actually got to be completed? Excuse me, completed. What if that actually got to be accepted? You could imagine all those desires to connect through caring got actually met. Notice that that offers a sense of satiation or completion. And then notice what it's like to hear the words. It was enough. And releasing all the other forms of judgment, all the other stories that go with that, even if they're really logical. It was enough. It was enough. It was enough. Your part is complete. Your part is complete. Your part is complete. As we do that, releasing not just grief, but also sadness from the diaphragm itself, which governs our breath, also our emotional processing, and how it is we wish to hold on, move on, integrate, and even control things. So as we release that through the diaphragm, we're also unwinding a fair amount of adhesions through the diaphragm. Specifically around the ligament that goes from the diaphragm into the lumbar spine, into the low back. Got it. And this is where the enoughness piece is also tying in. And we're in essence, working in the low back area works with the territory of self-value. And here we're just simply restoring, fortifying your self-value for you. As self-value becomes reinforced, fortified, there begins to be restored within that a sense of enoughness. I see almost this like it's flexible, it can flow, it's dynamic, but there's a solidity to the low back that wasn't there before, which in turn allows for that connection from tailbone all the way up to sphenoid bone to become even more deeply stable and allows for the heart energy and field overall to be more centered, contained, It also begins to center and contain the sphenoid bone. So it becomes this living, breathing dynamic. It has this ripple effect throughout everything we've touched on so far in this session. And then we're unhooking a bundle of beliefs that aren't yours, never were. And it's around the theme of I can't. And it's coming off with the muscles, and we're tapping that out here. Breathing here. Receiving here. And as I tap this out, I just simply hear the words, oh, what if I can? What if that's possible? What if? Opening up possibilities, making room for wonder and awe. Making room for the curious, the mysterious. And making room for joy, for ease, for flow to move here again. I have a short song to play for you. It's 3 minutes long. It's called Soft Ascension. It feels like the right one given the work that came through today. I cannot say the name. Roy Cosp and Pix. I'll put it in the chat feature in a moment. I invite you to receive and breathe. And if it feels right, touching in on that resource that we found earlier.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here together in these ways today. And thank you for being here as you are. Thank you for bringing that to the table exactly as you are. Blessings during this time, and I look forward to seeing you all in a couple of days. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Yeah, you're most welcome, y'all. Glad that landed for a few of you in some different ways, and blessings as I know this can be a tricky time of year for y'all. So, sending you so much love, and we'll see you in just a couple of days. Mwah. Bye for now, loves.